This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Governor Gretchen Whitmer's first State of the State address is set for February 12th. 8 years ago, Rick Snyder, a man from the other political party and with a very different background than Whitmer, was speaking to a joint session of the state legislature for the first time. Our public radio colleagues, Shana Roth and Jake Neer, take a look at where the state is now versus then and what we might hear in Governor Whitmer's first State of the State address. You can hear their one-hour special mishmash on the State of the State Tuesday night, February 5th at 8 o'clock on WMUK. Shana Roth joins us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing, and Jake Neer from WDET in Detroit. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So as we'll hear in this special, both Rick Snyder and Gretchen Whitmer called for bipartisanship in their respective inaugural addresses. Are there any things that we can also say they have in common as they begin their time as governor?
Sure. Well, I think that both of these governors are, as you said, coming in with similar tones. Now, obviously, take that with a grain of salt, because almost any new legislature or any new leaders at the Capitol, whether they're the governor or in the House or the Senate, usually say the same things at the beginning of any term, which is we need to come together, we need to put partisan politics aside, and then, you know, pretty soon things are completely, you know, back in partisan bickering pretty quickly. So, when it comes to both of these governors, it's interesting because there's a lot of focus on making sure that Michigan continues to be a place where businesses can thrive. Gretchen Whitmer has not really signaled that she's going to reverse course too much in terms of the way that our tax policy works for businesses or anything like that. Although it does seem like one of the things that we will talk about quite a bit in the Mishmash special is that now she is trying to make it so that those policies don't come at the expense of things like the environment and social justice issues.
And it's really important to note that they are, while they both sort of came in with this consensus of, you know, we need to work together, they're coming into very different environments. Governor Rick Snyder was coming in to a very friendly environment where both chambers in the legislature were on his side. You know, he had the full majority, and that really opened itself up to, you know, you can say that we're all going to work together, but you don't have to if you find yourselves sort of in differing ideas. Whereas Governor Whitmer is coming into a Republican legislature, so the sort of call for bipartisanship is probably maybe not more sincere, but a bit more necessary, given that mm-hmm. she does have to work with the other side of the aisle so much in order to get anything done.
Yeah, as Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow can be heard saying in this one-hour special of Mishmash, Snyder really didn't have to work with the other side. Mm-hmm. He could talk about it all day long, but he really didn't have to do it if he didn't want to or if it just became too difficult.
Right.
Now, that being said, though, there were plenty of things that Snyder did end up having to work with Democrats on, especially issues like the Medicaid expansion, like roads, which is going to be something that obviously Governor Whitmer is going to have to continue those conversations. You know, if you think back to 2012 through 2014 and 15, it was Snyder working with Gretchen Whitmer in the Senate to try to get Democratic votes on board for these types of things, for roads. So they were in the same room negotiating these things. Gretchen Whitmer it's going to be sort of the reverse role for her, that she's going to be the one coming in from the governor's seat trying to work with legislative Republicans to see what they can work on with these types of issues. You know, even though Republicans hold majorities in the House and the Senate, those margins are much smaller now. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the role that now Democratic leaders in the legislature will play in these tough negotiations. There's going to be a lot of compromises having to be made on those types of issues where you might not be able to get a majority of Republicans on board with certain things.
And it will be really interesting, at least something that I will constantly be paying attention to see sort of what happens when the economy takes what many are predicting is sort of an eventual downtick. You know, that's another big difference between the two administrations. It's Governor Snyder was coming in sort of at the tail end of a downtick in the economy, whereas Governor Gretchen Whitmer is coming into, you know, a fairly strong economy that has been, you know, sort of shored back up. But, you know, a lot of economists are predicting that we are in for something of a downturn in the near future. And, you know, how is she going to handle that and sort of prepare against it in her administration and with the legislature?
Right. And with some of the projections which have already come out from the state and some of the things, like, for instance, from places like the Citizens Research Council showing that, you know, economic growth is likely to be flat. There's some warning signs out there about what sort of revenue the state can expect. Does that put some limits on what Governor Whitmer can reasonably propose to spend on roads, education, et cetera?
I think it definitely puts a limit on what Republicans are going to be willing to give up, if anything. Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, as well as Speaker of the House Lee Chatfield, have already said that they are very against anything that could be considered a tax or any sort of fee increases or anything like that to fix the roads, and really in a lot of other areas. Like, they just don't want to pass anything that could be considered any sort of tax increase. And that's going to be a problem, particularly given that our budget is continually been around the same level for the last few years, and looks like it's going to continue to be that way. So if you want to fix the roads, if you want to improve education, these are things that cost money. I don't know where Republicans think the money is going to come from if there's without some sort of tax or fee increase, but it will be interesting to see how they're able to work together to figure that out.
Well, I mean, just think of the past several years, because of the booming economy, there have been a number of times that we've seen sort of these windfall forecasts in revenues where you have an extra, you know, several hundred million dollars that you have to figure out what you're going to do with. During the Snyder administration, a lot of that money went to roads, which is why we, for many years, have been able to see, even to some of our discontent, those orange barrels out on the roads, that a lot of these projects were funded by surplus money. Now, going forward, if that dries up, that's money that the state doesn't necessarily depend on year over year, but we might see that there are differences in our budgeting process quite a bit. And I think that puts a huge emphasis on this budget that Governor Whitmer is about to roll out, because we are still doing fairly well economically right now. So if she, in her first year, can put out a budget there that she has a little bit more wiggle room and a little bit more to work with, I think that's going to set a very important tone with how she's going to work with Republicans in the legislature through this budgeting process.
And speaking of supplemental budgets being spent by Republicans, at the end of lame duck this last year, right before Snyder left office, Republicans and Snyder signed a really big supplemental budget. And it seems like Governor Gretchen Whitmer is a little bit frustrated with that. During a recent press conference, due to all of the cold, somebody asked her about, you know, can we get more money for roads now that it looks like they're going to really get tore up by all of this crazy cold weather? And she kind of, you know, mentioned that, hey, we had some money before and Republicans spent it. So, I mean, it's interesting when you have that supplemental budgets coming in, what those priorities suddenly become, because it did not all go towards roads, I will say that.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A special one-hour mishmash looking at the state of the state now and 8 years ago when Rick Snyder took office will air Tuesday night at 8 o'clock on WMUK. Shayna Roth is joining us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing, and Jake Neer from WDET in Detroit. The last two governors before Gretchen Whitmer, both Rick Snyder and Jennifer Granholm, had no experience in the state legislature. For Rick Snyder, that was his first elected office. Gretchen Whitmer does have legislative experience. She was in both the state House and Senate. Is that likely to mean a different approach, especially when trying to work with members of the other party?
I think so. I mean, she's already called for these so-called quadrant meetings, which is where the leaders of both parties in the House and Senate meet with the governor. They've, I believe, had two so far. So she and, you know, Governor Rick Snyder didn't have a lot of those. I don't know if Governor Granholm did or not. But she's really coming at this from a legislative perspective, if that makes sense, where she knows how things work within the Capitol Dome. She knows how to negotiate with people on that level. It's very different negotiating with lawmakers than it is negotiating with businesses. I think even Governor Rick Snyder would probably agree that it's just a different sort of set of skills. And so I think she's definitely coming at it with a different perspective that could be beneficial for her.
When it comes to issues like roads and education and so forth, I mean, to quote Hamilton, she was in the room where it happens. You know, like she was the person that was in those quadrant meetings during the Snyder administration on those issues. And, you know, she's backed off from this comparison quite a bit recently for good reason, probably. But she used to talk about how, you know, John Engler was sort of in many ways, even though he was a conservative Republican, someone who approach she would that she admired in some ways, that he was the last governor that we've had in Michigan that really had that legislative experience, who knew the legislature, who was really, really tuned in to how these negotiations happen, how deals are made, and sort of also, you know, which ways to really, which carrots to use, but especially which sticks to use. And so, you know, early on in the campaign before, you know, a lot of controversy with his tenure at Michigan State University, you heard Gretchen Whitmer say, look, you know, even though we don't agree on policy, you know, Governor Engler knew how to get things done, and I sort of admire that.
You went out to try to find out what some people in Michigan want to hear in this State of the State address from different sides of the state, people of different backgrounds and occupations. Were there some commonalities, you think, in what you heard from people about what they would like the governor to address?
So, yeah, I mean, I think that no matter where you are in Michigan, one of the issues you are always going to hear every time you ask people around this time of year what you want to hear from the governor, it's going to be education. I think that that is something that every single person in the state can relate to. I think there is wide agreement that on both sides of the aisle that we're not where we need to be, that we're not doing right by our students statewide for many reasons. And of course, the solutions to those questions are very bitterly fought policy-wise. But, you know, I think that that is something that we heard a lot. I thought there was an interesting difference, actually, in the issue of roads. You know, I'm here in Southeast Michigan. I was talking to people here in Metro Detroit, and everyone basically said, we need better roads, and we really need to hold her to her promise to fix the roads, her campaign promise. And Shana, you didn't really hear that.
No, and that was what was really interesting when Jake and I sat down and sort of compared our notes from our different adventures out into the wild to speak with people.
the cold, the frigid cold.
The frigid cold, these stares of like, why are you talking to me? It's always fun to just randomly approach people and start off with, no, I'm not trying to sell you anything. but yeah, that was just one really interesting aspect of it, was talking to people in the Grand Rapids area, which is where I live. Is I didn't hear roads immediately coming out of people's mouths. I heard education a lot. I heard environment a lot. As we know, Western Michigan is dealing with PFAS sites. That was one of the first areas to have those emerging contaminants discovered in their water. So those are kind of their big issues. Whereas when I asked about roads, especially one person in particular, she was like, yeah, better roads would be nice, but I really want education to be improved in our state. So it's interesting how we're seeing differences from people kind of across the state, whereas a lot of people immediately think of, you know, that Michigan, everybody wants better roads, but that's not necessarily the case.
Are there issues that are likely to be especially contentious once somebody actually puts a bill in the hopper, or once there's an actual proposal out there? You know, we can all say that we want better roads and we want better schools, but are there issues that are likely to really cause us to see the stark differences between the Democratic governor and the Republicans running the legislature?
I think maybe the question is, are there issues that will not fall into that category? Because that's right. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right that, you know, a lot of these things almost everyone can agree on. You know, we need better roads. We need better schools. We are not where we need to be on so many issues. But then as soon as you offer a specific plan, that's when things really go off the rails in many ways.
And some of the big issues that are not roads or education that we'll be seeing is likely auto no fault. This is something that we can't even get an entire party to agree on how to solve, let alone bringing together enough Republicans and Democrats. So that's something that's going to be a really big issue. And then the other one, I think, is just, you know, legislation about the environment. Are we going to do something about the PFAS contaminants, you know, about lead in drinking water and things like that? That will be really interesting to sort of keep an eye on. Is are Republicans going to be willing to recognize these issues and work together with Democrats and a Democratic governor, or will we kind of be at some sort of standstill with these issues.
With roads specifically, too, I mean, we have known even for weeks and even months now that with Gretchen Whitmer saying that user fees, which is sort of a politically correct way to say tax or fee increases, you know, that is one, like a very essential part of what she is likely to propose for roads. And then the new legislative leaders on the Republican side saying no new taxes, no new fees. It's almost like the read my lips, no new taxes promise from, you know, the first President Bush, that, you know, if they both stick to their ground on those issues, we're immediately at an impasse before anyone's even sworn in.
So I have to ask about the date this is being delivered. Governor Whitmer was supposed to give the State of the State address on February 5th. Then it was rescheduled because President Trump's going to give the State of the Union address that night. She could have kept the date, which is actually what then Governor Snyder did in 2015. The State of the State address was given the same night as President Obama gave the State of the Union. But Gretchen Whitmer made a point of saying that both of these addresses are important. Could that be seen as something of a bipartisan effort or trying to set politics aside?
It could be. You know, it could also be an effort to ensure that people are going to be focused on what she has to say. It also, by pushing hers out a week, that gives her an opportunity to hear what President Trump has to say and potentially respond to what he has to say from a Michigan Democrat perspective. So that it's kind of a bit of strategy on that hand. What was really interesting, just kind of from the Lansing perspective on how this all went down, is Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced that she is going to change the date. And then Speaker of the House Lee Chatfield kind of put up a tweet that said, whoa, 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 we have not given you permission officially just yet. I need to speak with some people. And eventually they came, you know, they sort of very quickly came together, and Chatfield said, we officially accept her request for a time change. But it was kind
He said that he had to make sure the Capitol was available. Is there a time the Capitol's not available for the State of the State
not
address?
Not that late at night, unless they were planning some sort of late night session for some reason that we didn't know about.
No, they were not. They were not.
But yes, the answer is no. But yeah, I mean, that was like a potential. It was a very small, quick thing. But the fact that it, you know, it sort of happened, was that there was this little bit of a squabble thing, was really interesting. And it's unclear at this point if this is sort of foretelling some maybe cracks in the foundation of bipartisanship, or if this was just a, you know, kind of, hey, let's remember what all the roles are here.
A special one-hour mishmash on the State of the State, the address, and the actual state of Michigan right now can be heard Tuesday night, February 5th at 8 o'clock on WMUK. Shana and Jake, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Shana Roth joined us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. Jake Neer joined us from WDET in Detroit. You can find WMUK's West Southwest podcast from Apple, iTunes, and Google. You can leave a rating and write us a review. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.